You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Bradfo Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
Boom sauce. Yeah, we're back. Bradfo Show is back after a couple weeks on hiatus. We're back. We've been on hiatus, but for good reason. Because we want to regroup, come back with the absolute best baseball podcast for the last couple months of the regular season. And we're going to be doing so side by side with our great, great friends from Lord Hobo Brewing Company, makers of the aforementioned Boom Sauce and other fine beers. And just, let me just tell you, they are the coolest people around. Go over to their brewery in Woburn. Absolutely awesome. So we're looking forward to hanging with them throughout this ride. And the ride really starts right now with Alex Cora. This is the guy that I wanted to have on heading into the second half. When we came back from our little vacation, this is the guy I want to have on. And it's good timing because, number one, we're at the All-Star break. Number two, Red Sox are 38 games over 500, which is insane. 4.5 games over the Yankees. Alex Cora has done a good job. Let's just admit it. Alex Cora has done a good job. I had no idea what Alex Cora would do as a manager. I've known him for a long time. I covered him when he was playing here. But as a manager, the guy who's sitting in the seat, who knows? But he's done a good job. Let's just admit it. And I went the other day just to John Gibbons, the Toronto Blue Jays manager, and asked him, hey, you know what? Is there a difference when you've managed against Alex Cora? Can you notice if he's doing a good job? This is what he said.
I will say this. There's something different about him this year. Whether it's a confidence or something, you know? Mm-hmm. No doubt about that, you know?
I mean, that's just a small part of the equation. When you have a manager of the other team talk about the other manager, it's fine. But there's a lot to pick through here. There's a lot to pick through, including, you know, going back to when he was playing and the difference when he was playing. And one of the questions that I had for him was, is this the best team that you've ever been around? I thought his answer was pretty interesting. So, good conversation with Cora. He's been on this podcast a bunch of times, but I kind of feel like this is maybe the most important time he's ever been on this podcast. I think it's worth a listen. And again, welcome back. Welcome back. We look forward to a great, great final couple months of the season heading in the off season, which is going to be obviously a crazy one as well. But thanks again for joining us on the Bradfo Show. Thanks to Lord Hobo Brewing Company. I hope you enjoy this.
Preparing for the 19th time I'm on the Bradfo Show, but this is the first time ever, Alex, that you have said, let's get this bleep over with. I feel like you're it's a different vibe. You don't, you were so welcoming to the Bradfo Show before. Now you're coming and say, let's get this over with.
It's a tough day, lineup-wise, so I got a job to do. Yeah, but we'll be fine. I was just joking.
All right. Listen, fair enough, because you did not have tough day lineup-wise when I was railing on you about the WBC 2 years ago. So yeah. It was different dynamic.
Different dynamic. Actually, this is very important.
Okay. All right. Okay. So how have I, now that we're around each other a little bit more, since 2008, how have I changed?
Dressing better. You got like commercials. People talk about you.
They talked about me back then.
No, not really. I mean, at that time, I had no social media. But now, like, you can put Rob Bradford on search, and you can probably be trending. It's amazing. For good or for worse.
Well, to go back to 2008, you talk about dressing better. You were actually the impetus for the...
No, but you're more casual now. Like we evolve as people. Like, I was a suit guy, and we don't wear suits in this team, but we push the guys to, you know, business casual. So now you up to the like times now, you know. You got your
Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing.
Yeah, you got it. You go to the website. There's some cool stuff there. I mean, I'm not saying I want a contract like that, but it's pretty good. You're doing a good job losing weight. You gave me a good tip about how to spice up the Tito's vodka. You told me.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Did you do that?
No, not yet. Not yet. But
well, it's a learning experience. I mean, first year as a manager.
Yeah. I'm learning, but yeah. I'm doing a good job.
Also, you go to
good
remote
questions too. Good questions.
I have a good question. Yeah. Better questions in 2008.
I wasn't part of like.
I was the only one who talked to you in 2008.
Well, you got that wrong. Basically, I know Jason had the C of the captain, but.
Well, that's true. You were the guy. You were the guy who
I had a show. I had a radio show.
Yeah, but they never paid you for it, so it's...
Well, you never know.
But you were the guy, I always said this, you were the guy out there when, you know how it is at home in the clubhouse, everyone disappears. You were the go-to guy. You were the guy who was always out there. And I was absolutely lying, saying I was the only one to talk to you, because no matter what happened, hey, man, what do you think about Manny? Hey, what do you think about David? Hey, what... Because they're not around.
Yeah, I felt that I was used in 2008. Use and abuse. That was awful. Yeah.
But to go back to the dressing thing, remember, you were the one in Japan. Tell that story.
What was it? That we will give you money for a charity if you wear a suit and tie.
You said I was a slob.
You look horrible. So we need to... Me and Mike Lowe. Kind of like, you have to step it up. And we made a bet. Did we pay that bet?
I made $6,000 off of it because I got other people involved. $6,000 for a Room to Grow charity.
Yeah. But you wear a suit all the way till game 7 of the...
Jacket and tie.
ALCS. David Price comes in the 8th inning. That was the end.
And I was wearing a suit. And you know what the funny thing about that is, that the one guy who didn't give money for the charity, who was a great guy, was J.D. Drew. Yet he was the most obsessed with that bat. Like, if I came down without a jacket on, he was screaming. I remember one time in Toronto, you guys had this tough loss, and I come around the corner, I forgot my jacket, and J.D. is screaming and yelling. It's
like, no, that's J.D. right there.
So anyway, I've obviously, we've known each other for a while since I covered you, but I didn't know how you were going to do. I can write the article saying Alex Cora should be the guy and everything, but that's only because I've been propping you up for the last few years. You know, finally it paid off. But
finally paid off. If you had to, no, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I don't think you had.
I didn't have anything to do with it?
Nah.
Well, every little bit helps.
Nah.
All right, anyway, but I don't know how you're going to do, right? So you get in the manager's chair, and I'll say this, you've done pretty well. So my question is how, look at this, you're looking at, you got to go?
No, I'm good.
All right. My question is, you know, you keep referencing like how much you learned from the Houston experience last year. And, you know, we had talked before that, and you wanted to be a manager. But you see guys like Matheny and Weiss and Ventura and these other guys. Yeah. So what really is the thing that you did is like, oh, man, and you said this before, if I got that job in Texas interviewed me, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
What is the thing that now that you've done it for half a year, like, oh man, I am so glad I went the route that I did.
Yeah, communication is very important, and we joke around all that, but the way it goes with the front office, with ownership, medical department, analytic department, players, it's very important that everybody's on the same page. I bet everybody says it, but not everybody do it. And I saw it firsthand last year. We go to game 4, for example, here. Mm-hmm. Supposed to rain. in the middle of the game. So we got Charlie on the mound. You know, he's supposed to start. So between the medical department and the analytic department and AJ, Jeff, we sat down in the office and we were debating if we start Charlie or we start somebody else and then bring Charlie after rain. Obviously, we decided to go with Charlie. I wasn't 100% sure that Verlander was going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like higher than me.
Oh, really?
Decision. Yeah, the Verlander one.
Will it bring him in out of the bullpen thing?
Yeah. It was actually start Charlie. If it rains and we had the lead, bring Verlander and finish it. It's funny because I came out, and AJ, I always come out half hour before the game. So I was out. I look around. I'm like, it's not going to rain here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not going to rain. And he comes out. I'm like, hey, man, whatever we do, it's not going to rain here. I'm telling you. I play here enough times. It's not going to freaking rain. They're playing tricks with us. I was joking with that. But I felt like they were playing tricks with us. And sure enough, it didn't rain. And I see Verlander walking out there. I go, what's going on here? He's like, well, he might come in out of the bullpen. I said, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm going with him. I'm like, okay, you're the manager. And he comes in. You saw what happened. Benny hit a bomb. As soon as the ball went out, I said, how long are you going to ride this guy? We got game five.
Yeah.
He's like, one more inning. I'm like, okay. We got Keuchel and Verlander. So he pitched one inning. He comes back. I look in the bullpen. There's nobody there. I said, hey, whatever you're doing, I'm behind you, brother. But I didn't agree. But before the game, going back, you talk, and there's a lot of communication.
So by you know, you say that with communication, but you had managers. You played for a lot of managers. We focus on you played for Tito here, but you played for a lot of managers. How much has it become more important, or is it just like you just having gone through it last year, you just realized?
No,
hey, maybe
it's a different job. You know, like as a player, you're a player. You like half this player, most of them, they don't know what's going on before batting practice.
They care about them. I mean, not in a bad way, but they care about them. Their situation.
Yeah, you gotta take care of yourself, you know. But to be involved and listen to them and the decision making and how we get to that decision, it was interesting. And I keep saying, you know, like, without that job, I'm not saying that organization, but I think it worked out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we won, just because the way they do things.
Yes, it was different. It was different from where you came from, right?
It was different, yeah. So, it was a great experience, and we're doing a good job here, and I think that helped me out.
So you go into this thing, and, you know, you get hired, you have the press conference, you have the ideas, you talk, and you have sort of what you want to do. But now we're sitting here, the All-Star break, and what are the things that you like, I didn't see this coming, I didn't see that coming? Has there been, it has to be something, right?
I don't know. I felt that I was, obviously, we signed Mitch, we signed Nooney, and we signed JD. But as you know, I recognized a few players that I felt that they were going to step up their game. Xander and Mookie, there were two of them. Joe was the other guy, Kelly, and they done that. You know, like watching last year, I'm like, okay. And then throughout the process, I'm like, well, if this guy and this guy, mi gente, caballo, todo bien. Dominican players, they're gonna take batting practice.
Nice
prospects. You know, just looking around the roster and what we had, you know, I knew Rafi was going to be our everyday third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
at the moment, Hanley, I felt that he was going to step up his game. He did for a month, you know.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
I feel like, so tell me if I was wrong about when you said, okay, Hanley's hitting third. Like, you were like, he has a lot of upside, right? He has maybe the most upside. I am going to get behind him. I am going to make him feel like that guy again. And, you know, if it works, it works. And obviously, it did for a while.
I saw him in October, and he dominated.
Yeah.
He put good at bat. So I still feel that he was going to be an impactful bat.
Right.
It just happened that, you know, he struggled, and then we made a decision. And but early in the season, he was doing an outstanding
job. But that's what I'm talking about. You don't know. I mean, you can think you put your best foot forward in terms of trying to figure out what's going to happen, but you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a, you don't know what's going to happen in the second half, but we got a pretty good team. So,
yeah.
But I felt that there were certain guys that they were going to be better, and they done it, and I still feel we got a few guys that they're going to take a step forward in the second half, and it's going to help us out to be better.
I remember seeing, I think it was in the dugout with you in Tampa at the beginning, I said, you like your team? You're like, yeah, I really like your team. Like mm-hmm. more so than I think that people would say. Yeah, you could say, oh, I like this team, but I think that you said, I really, really like this team.
Yeah, very athletic. We can do a lot of things offensively, and we don't depend in the home run. We put the ball in play, but they bought into doing damage. And you start looking at the numbers and what we do, running the bases, putting pressure. You know, when we play good teams, when you're facing those four or five horses they have in Houston, you got to do something different. And we can steal bases. Yeah, we have our up and downs, running the bases, running two outs. But as far as stealing bases, putting pressure on the opposition, it's an uncomfortable team to prepare for. I heard Gibby last night saying that we can run teams. You know, we can run teams to the ground mm-hmm. because we're so good at stealing bases and all that. So that's a good compliment. You know, I heard it. I'm like, oh, that's what it's all about. That's what we want to do. So yeah, I love the way we play towards the end of spring training. We finished strong, we played fast, and we caught the ball, and we pitched well. And you start looking at the bullpen, there's stuff out there, man, 97, 98, 99. Yeah, it's not an easy team. And like I've been saying, we have room to improve, and that's the cool thing about it.
It's a long ways to go, I get that. But as we sit here right now, is this the most talented team that you've been a part of? It's a good question.
That's a great question. I feel like last year that was, you know, as talented team as I ever been around, from top to bottom.
More so than like 07.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh well, people say 08 actually was almost more talented.
Yeah,
than
Yeah, we got banged up, and we ended up with me playing short, and Kotze playing first. And Casey being the DA, so we...
Yeah.
No, but that team last year, if you think about it, you know, you got George, he's a beast. First rounder. Alex, second pick of the nation. Altuve, he's going to end up as being one of the greatest hitters in the game. Carlos Correa, 1-1. Yuli Gurriel, at one point, was the best player in the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Then you complement that with McCann. I mean, solid. Reddick, great baseball player. Gaddis, banging balls into the Crawford boxes. I mean, that lineup, oof, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you get Verlander,
and then
you're on your way.
Yeah, and he didn't win a game in the World Series.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we focus on 07, you won the World Series, you were part of that team. I think everyone around here would say 07, 08 was better than 13. I think they caught lightning in the bottle a little bit. But if you had the stuff that in 07, like that you know now, like all this shit that you guys do, like what would that be like? You know, you think back to that?
No. But you brought it up, so I should.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys played straight up. You didn't shift. You didn't do.
Yeah. Imagine, yeah. Probably 04 doesn't win that one with all this information because there were just guys playing the game.
Mm.
But that team, we thought the game a little bit more, I guess.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't a part of 04, but, you know, Mikey and Petey, Uke will. He'll benefit from all this information.
Yeah.
Because he had, I think we were more disciplined, I guess.
Yeah.
David was already established too.
Yeah. But it was just like, okay, let's run out David and Manny, and, you know, we have good fielding at third, we have good fielding at second, and we've, you know, it's just, I don't know, whatever.
Diddy.
Yeah.
Diddy will benefit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a good team.
Yeah, they got a good team. All right. Well, you got a good team now. So, I know you got to get going.
Yeah.
You said that a little too quick. last question.
Yeah, we got kids from the Dominican.
I know.
Taking that's BP at 3:30. 3:15, actually.
Okay. Where are they from? I know it's from the Dominican.
International draft picks.
Okay.
Or whatever.
All right.
July 2nd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, guys they sign.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Oh, so always
future.
Always nurturing the future.
The future.
So last question is about the media. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I don't know how you're going to handle. I know how you handle the media as a player. I keep referencing this. Like, I remember that, you know, you missed a bunt in Cleveland and you stood in front of your locker.
Hit and run.
Yeah. But you were in front of your locker and in full uniform. And the Gagne thing, when Gagne came in and blew it, right?
He left.
Right. And you had a talking to with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Talking, that was a tough one right there.
Oh, was
it? I got mad at him. Like, you better get your asshole back. Yeah, get back. He did it the next day.
Yeah, he did. He had no problem from that point in. But, you know, and I know accountability is sort of the catchphrase. But I do think that, I've said this to you, I think moments that you had early on about, like, hey, you know what, I screwed up with them not putting Jackie out in the defensive replacement.
Tampa game?
Yeah, right. Like, things like that. And then, you know, whether it's Carson Smith, hey, you know, listen, taking that head on and not dancing around it. I mean, it's, but this is the type of stuff that I think that you've handled well. But from your perspective, the media has changed since you were here last night. You said social media. There's probably a lot more of it. Do you sense anything dramatically different in the way this team is covered?
No. I feel that people want information in this city, and you guys provide it. And you guys are on top of the game. And we have to be on top of our game. I'm not saying that I would tell you guys everything that goes on with us, but... if asked, we'll be fair. And sometimes I put myself as a fan, what I want to hear, you know, if I'm following my teams, you know. It sucks that my teams that I like, people hate here. But if I want to know about the Ravens, what are they going to say, you know? Like, I want to know. Yeah. I try to be fair.
So when you ask about stuff up in the press conference, you're like, okay, that goes through your head. Like,
I think I'm prepared. Kind of like I have an idea of what people are going to ask. And if I don't know, I just say, hey, man, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to do it. Because I'm not going to, like, BS my way around a question, because then I'm going to put myself in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. And that's why I try to avoid. I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, not that I'm not smart, but, you know, like, he's BSing us. And I think those 4 years that I work on TV helps me, talking to Peter and Carl Ravage and Tim Kirchen and Buster Only. It helps me, you know, sitting there, and they were telling me this is good. Just watching people talk helped me out.
How do you say that? I've heard you say that before, but when you're a player, when you're in Boston as a player, what did you say? What were you looking back now? Said, oh, I didn't see that the way I should have seen it.
No, I didn't. I mean, the whole experience helped me out to be ready for this, but I wasn't like a guy, you know, like there wasn't, I didn't have to talk every day, so it's not like that prepared me for this. I do feel that TV really helped me out.
Well, it's a results business. Congratulations, you get good results.
Thank you.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.